The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. Sorry that we have not had any BS reports lately, but in case you're ever having a podcast withdrawal, you should listen to the Grantland Network because we have a lot of good stuff in here. Dave Jacoby is actually co-hosting with me today. You run the Grantland Network.
Yes, I do.
What do we have, like 5-6 podcasts on there now?
5 a week, Monday through Friday.
Yeah. We had a whole bunch of stuff. It's good.
We switch
it up. Like the pairings.
Yeah.
The Men in Blazers. We have Crandyland.
We have Jalen and Jacoby every Monday.
Jalen and Jacoby every Monday.
And we've got Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald on Tuesday.
I call it Crandyland. They hate that.
The Men in Blazers have done a fantastic job with football throughout.
And here's the thing about Men in Blazers. Even if you don't like soccer at all, it's very relaxing to hear two guys with English accents talk.
It is. And they're fantastic.
I listen to it all the time, and half the time I don't listen to anything they say. It's soothing.
Yeah, it is. Thursday, we switch it up a lot. A lot of time we have Chris Ryan hosting the Triangle podcast, speaking to a lot of our sports writers.
Yeah.
And then anchoring the week Friday, we have our friends from up north, the Basketball Jones.
Yeah. And we're adding more podcasts, and eventually we're going to split them like an atom, and we're going to create the Grantland double network.
Exactly.
And maybe a triple network. Hey, one of our Grantland writers is online right now.
Ooh, great transition, Bill.
Today is... it's not Christmas. I wouldn't even say it's close to some of the other days that feel like Christmas. First day of March Madness, Halter Top Day, some of those classics. First day of football.
Madden Holiday.
This is in the top 12. It's the day that the NFL over-under win totals come out.
Okay.
And a guy who, after the football season ended, he's been living in a cave and hibernating like a bear. And then the over-under totals come out, and he comes out of his cave.
It's exciting.
And he gets excited about football. Our own Bill Barnwell, what's happening?
Guys, not only am I out of my cave, but you guys just stole me on the Grantland Network. I kind of want to hang up and just start listening to podcasts right now.
You can. In like 10 minutes, you can hang up. But first, these NFL over-unders, first of all, what takes so long? They should be up like 2 days after the draft.
Good question.
After the draft, we know what the rosters are going to be. So why an extra month?
Because I think people are a little afraid of putting the first lines up. So you kind of want to have that. It's kind of like the seventh grade dance thing where no one wants to make the first move. No one wants to get those lines up because whoever puts them up first is going to get hammered. And then everyone else who puts them up afterwards is going to get to learn from the mistakes of the first people who put the lines up. So you need someone to kind of step up and have the guts to actually go first.
So is the person who makes the line standing with their butt 2 feet back just in case they have a little morning wood as they're doing that seventh grade dance? Or was that just me in the seventh grade?
Were your seventh grade dances in the morning?
I was confused. Yeah, just forget I ever mentioned that. over-unders. New England Patriots. Highest win total. 12 wins. Over.
Ooh.
Under. 12.
12 is a lot. I mean, you know, for a team that had a terrible defense, do you really want to count on them winning 13 games next year?
It's tough. I mean, it's usually the over-unders are like the highest they'll go is 11.5, and they try to push you to think that the team will go 12-4.
Barnwell,
12 wins means you have to go 13-3.
Barnwell, I have not memorized the NFL schedule for the season yet, but I know that you have. So when I hear 12 wins for the Patriots, I immediately think they must have a soft schedule. Is that correct?
You know, not really. I really think that their division's going to be pretty tough.
Mm.
I have more faith in the Dolphins than everyone else does, but I think the Jets are a competent team, and certainly the Bills upgraded. They added Mario Williams, the best free agent on the market this year. And, they do get to play some pretty bad teams. They get the AFC South, which is probably going to be the worst division in football. But they still play, you know, and they get the Broncos, who are kind of the worst first-place team out there, as we'll discuss. But, the problem is the Patriots, they kind of have that thing where at the end of the season, if they're doing really well, if they're, 11-2 or maybe even 12-2, they always seem to kind of slow down and really struggle at the end of the regular season. So I wouldn't be very comfortable if the Patriots are, say, 11-3 and they've got a playoff spot locked up. You know, I wouldn't be confident they're going to finish those last two games of the year with wins. I mean, they really struggle. Even last year they had some issues, but they almost lost to the Dolphins. So I wouldn't go crazy with that.
Here's my counter to everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the Patriots going 11-5 or worse without, like, a major injury, like Tom Brady getting his knee taken out by Bernard Pollard again?
Even then, they went
11-5.
I can see them going 11-5. I can't see them going any worse than 10-6, and that's the problem. With picking this. But you're right. You know, sure, it's hard to see the Patriots winning 13 games, and you never want to say someone's going to go 13-3 or 14-2 because it's kind of rare. But even if Tom Brady got hurt, you have to think the Patriots are going to win at least 9-10 games. So.
Well, we know the defense is better because they spent a lot of their draft picks trying to make it better.
Oh, and they've been so good at drafting these past few years that I'm not so sure about that.
Oh my God!
Oh, it's the first time doing a podcast, Bill Simmons.
Mistake. I don't even know where the phone is.
Barnwell, I have a question for you.
Oh my God! How does that happen?
I do want to hear more about the Patriots draft because you said they did a really good job, but that hasn't been the case historically, especially in recent history.
Well, years ago they had a good draft.
Fair. But what do you...
Last year was iffy.
What do you think was good about this draft?
I was being totally sarcastic.
Oh.
Yeah, I picked up the sarcasm, and you know what else? I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
What you didn't pick up was the phone.
No, I didn't like that. You totally discounted the draft from 2 years ago. Last year, a little trouble, maybe whiffing on three of the top four picks. But wait a second. Here's the thing with the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are on the bandwagon that the Jets, who we didn't even think were going to be that good last year, they're going to be worse this year. That's just an old team that is having trouble even kind of getting younger and fresher and all that stuff. Like, that's a team to me that could go 5-11.
You really think a team with Tim Tebow can go 5-11?
Oh, I forgot about Tebow. Yeah, dude, Jacoby's looking at me like,
yeah,
it's
I
your
know,
bar
I'm
right
saying.
Now.
It's ridiculous.
Don't you think the Tebow Sanchez thing is just a recipe for absolute all-time disaster?
No, I'm with you. I don't want to say the Jets are going to finish in last place because then it's going to become this huge thing. But certainly the Jets are, you know, you have to think they peaked 2 years ago. Just the roster they have. I mean, the young guys, they have some talented young guys, but all the salary cap space they had for veterans and the guys like Bart Scott and whatnot, they're not quite where they were a couple of years ago. And
when receivers
slips, the receivers are iffy. I think Holmes is going to have a better year, but you know, they're kind of depending on this year's draft and sort of the young guys from the past couple of years to really step up and really take the place of some of the older veterans. And if they don't, you know, there's just not a ton there to make up for it.
And their over-under is 8.5, which I actually think is fair. And then you like the Dolphins more than I do. Their over-under was 7.5. I just don't see it. I mean, it seems like no fan base has less confidence in their front office than the Dolphins right now. They also have the worst home field advantage in the league. Who is quarterbacking them? I can't even off the top of my head remember. Did they find a quarterback?
They drafted Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. But he's not going to start. Oh, so Matt Moore is back.
Matt Moore is that is the slogan for the franchise. Matt Moore is back.
That's what they sent out to the season ticket holders. You have to renew.
Only he's without Brandon Marshall.
No, he's without Brandon Marshall, and they didn't bother to replace Brandon Marshall.
Why replace him?
I'm not saying I would take the Dolphins at 7.5 for the over. But what I think is going to happen is that because nobody likes the Dolphins, that line's going to drop. So he may end up getting, you know, 2 months from now when everyone's put up their lines and everyone's bet against them, you may get over 6.5. And I think over 6.5 wouldn't be too bad.
Well, that leads us to the team that I couldn't wait to see what their over-under was. The resurgent, up-and-coming Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Seven wins for their over-under. That seems low. Just looking at this list for the first time, and I waited until I had Barnwell on the phone to look at this list. That seems like the best bet to me on this entire list. Talk me out of it.
They're the Bills.
Oh.
But, I mean,
I think the Bills are a decent team, but when you have a team that really wasn't very good last year, it kind of had that kind of brief spurt at the beginning of the season. They're sort of like the Baltimore Orioles of football, where they have like that early season spurt every couple of years, and you say, oh, well, the Bills are going to be good this year, and then they're just terrible the rest of the season. And they're more like that terrible team than they are that really impressive team at the beginning of the year.
But
I don't think the offense going anywhere. I mean, I love Fred Jackson. I'll say that much. If they can keep Fred Jackson healthy, it's a huge positive for them.
We think Fitzpatrick was hurt last year, though. I mean, they came out afterwards and said he was playing hurt for half the year, and then lost Fred Jackson at the halfway point. But if both of those guys are healthy, offense will be better. Their front seven might be the best in either conference. It's possible.
You really want to count on Ryan Fitzpatrick to win 8 games?
No. I'm not saying I want to count on it. I just think I like the bet because 6-10 beats me. And they get to play Miami twice. They get to play the Jets twice. I don't know.
Well, for the Bills?
Yeah. And I'm sure they have a crap schedule because they were the fourth place. Were they the fourth place team? No, they were the third place team.
Mm-hmm. Their schedule's pretty easy. But you're saying they're going over 7 games.
I think they're the second place team.
I'm saying they're going over 7 games as well.
Yeah. Oh, Jacoby's with me.
There's a cumulative amount of wins. They all play each other twice. So it's not like the Patriots are going to win 13 and everybody else in the division is going to win 6 games.
True. I could see the Jets going 6-10 and Miami 4-12, which would open the door for a nice 8-8 from the Bills. They might be better than that. You know that I always like teams that have identities, Barnwell. And this Buffalo team... You know everything that they do is going to be built around that the front seven on the defense.
Yeah, but then aren't they just like the Lions without Calvin Johnson?
Okay, but the Lions without Calvin Johnson, well, the Lions with Calvin Johnson were what? Where did they go last year? 10-6, 11-5?
I think so. Yeah, and they're at what 9.5 this year?
Yeah, so Calvin Johnson maybe worth 3 wins, 2.5 wins.
I don't know.
How many wins is Calvin Johnson worth?
Calvin Johnson, I'd say Calvin Johnson makes. Matt Stafford looked pretty great, and he makes the rest of that offense work.
But on the flip side, they had the worst running backs in the league last year. So you could say that Buffalo has great running backs if Fred Jackson comes back. CJ Spiller kind of came on. I'm going to talk you into this.
Because here's the thing with Ryan Fitzpatrick. We now have like 6 years of Ryan Fitzpatrick's career. And yes, you could say, okay, he was injured for the second half of last season. But for the first 5 years of his career, he was terrible. For like 6 weeks, he was great. And then for the second half of his season last year, he was injured, but he played exactly like he did during the first 5 years of his career. So you want to believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick, you can go nuts. I know there was a good article on Grantland about it right at the beginning of his
he went to Harvard
last year, but I'm not in on the Bills.
I don't know if I want to believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I want to think that he might be competent.
With a good defense, he can take them to a 500 record.
And again, he was hurt.
We're not talking Super Bowl here.
Yeah. Just go 8-8 for us, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Eight wins is a lot. I think you guys are forgetting. When the Bills are like 4-7, you know, you're really going to be drawing pretty slim to get the 8 wins.
All right, let's talk about the two most compelling. Oh, Jacoby doesn't know these. You didn't look, did you?
No.
Over-unders, the two most compelling. First, the disgraced New Orleans Saints. Totally disgraced. Franchise.
That also went out to the season ticket holders. Come see the disgraced New Orleans Saints.
We have been disgraced. I don't mean to make light of it, but I mean, holy mackerel, did a whole bunch of bad things happen to them. And on top of it, they just won't make it go away by giving Drew Brees $20 million a year or whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Instead, the owner decided he would buy the New Orleans basketball team to try to throw everyone off the scent. Hey, look, everybody, I bought the NBA team. Anybody?
Yeah. The NBA team should give Drew Brees a max contract to make up for it.
They should.
I'd watch Drew Brees play basketball for sure.
Hey, I say basketball in New Orleans. Anything? Anybody?
I like where you're going with that, Barnwell.
What? Mm-hmm.
I think you'd throw in some NBA games into Drew Brees' contract.
That's interesting. Make him the GM.
Yeah, something.
For $5 million a year. So anyway, Jacoby, what do you think the New Orleans Saints over-under is?
I believe the team formerly known as the New Orleans Saints over-under is 7.5 wins.
It's 10. They don't have a coach for 6 games. They have no coach. I think this is insane. Barnwell, how is this 10?
Because you still have Drew Brees.
Come on. You need a coach.
Drew Brees is a pretty... if you were to tell me, you know, you can't have a coach, but you can take any player and he's going to be kind of your leader and your team coach, Drew Brees would be pretty high on that list. I think we have to agree.
If you take Bill Belichick off the Patriots, how many wins do you take off their over-under?
Oh, because Bill Belichick has to coach up all their undrafted rookies and sixth-round picks.
Barnwell, you need to settle. This giant Super Bowl win has really made you insufferable. I don't like it. Hey, Sean Payton does matter, and he is one of the 5 or 6 best coaches in the league, and he's being replaced by some guy I've never heard of who can't coach the first 6 games. This seems like this would matter.
But the thing is, again, it's a hard line to set because if you're going to set it at 7.5, 8.5 wins, you're just going to look at it and say, okay, well, Drew Brees is going to win me 9 games. He's just too good to not pull out a couple games at the end of the season. So, I mean, it's just, it's one of those lines where it's going to be very hard to get a fair number. I think it's going to get hammered no matter where it is.
Well, here's the amazing thing. According to this column you did today, everybody can go read this column on Grantland in the Triangle Block, which we love. There's been action on the over. The over is -125. People are betting the over of 10 wins for New Orleans. I think,
Bill.
What?
No. The original line was 125. It's now down to 110. The under's getting bet up from 105 to 125.
What am I looking at here?
I don't know.
The under's getting bet up.
Yeah, and then the over's taking some action. The over is having the odds improved because the under's getting bet up.
Oh, the sheet I'm looking at, New Orleans, is the over is -125 and the under is -105.
Right, that was the original line. But after the first day, after the first kind of few hours of betting, when I went to the
casino, I screwed up. I was looking at the wrong page. Good call. Good call, Barnwell. Thanks. I'm glad you're here. So
that wasn't sarcastic at all.
The under, yes. So there has been action on the under. Now, this could go one of two ways. Either you could make a case that New Orleans is one of the all-time test cases for the nobody believes in us theory.
Mm-mm.
Very true.
I think sometimes NFL teams, especially over anybody else, can hit a point where you just can't have distractions in football. You can have distractions in baseball and basketball, and you're playing a lot of games. In football, it's like you're playing once a week, and if you just constantly have this cloud hanging over you, I think it's tough to win, and I think it hurts them, and I think they go 8-8 or lower.
Yeah, but think about the Patriots, after the Spygate scandal. I mean, they really coalesced after, kind of getting all that attention, and everyone wanted to beat them, especially after they started winning all those games, and, they kept it up. They weren't quite as good as they were, in week 16 as they were in week 5 or week 6, but they were still, they really were able to get that sort of nobody believes in us mentality.
Okay, but they had one of the best coaches of all time.
That's
they
true.
Had one of the best quarterbacks of all time in his absolute apex. They had one of the best receivers of all time in his last great year. They had one of the best teams ever, and they were all pissed off and wanted to beat the hell out of everybody every week. New Orleans is a team that lost in round one last year.
I'm not saying they're going to go 16-0. All they got to do to get this come through is to win 11 games, and I could see it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying I would bet the over, but I'm saying the Saints. I could believe any record for the Saints from 7-9 to 13-3. If you tell me any record in between those two numbers, I'd say, okay, I could absolutely see that.
I appreciate your professional opinion, Mr. Barnwell.
Yeah,
that's a large range there.
That was like a Shaq comment. You just went with an 8-win range. You should have said 3-13. You should have really expanded it. I could see New Orleans going 3-13. Let me ask you this. Did it seem crazy last year that the Colts would have had the worst record in the league? When things snowball in the NFL, they snowball. It's an avalanche.
Well, it depends on when you're asking me. If you're asking me in May when I think Peyton Manning's coming back in August, for sure. If you're asking me in August when Peyton Manning looks like he's going to be done for the year, I don't know if they would have the worst record in football, but I would have thought they would be a bad team.
Well, speaking of Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah.
The other fascinating over-under, the Denver Broncos. What do you think it is, Jacoby?
I'm just going to give a Barnwell answer here. It could be anywhere between 2 and 14 wins.
Good.
I could see any of that happening.
Good guess.
That's correct.
What do you really think it is, though?
The Denver Broncos, well, there's the Ewing factor with Tebow gone,
Is there Ewing?
Manning.
No, there is
no,
a little
there's
Ewing.
Not. There's
well,
not.
There's something.
The Denver Broncos in that division, I could see 8.5.
9.5. I go way under. I might go drive to Vegas right now and bet the under. How about this? I don't think Peyton Manning plays 9.5 games.
That would be a good bet. And I think you have to build that into whatever you're expecting for this line. I mean, the problem is everybody on the planet is going under 9.5 wins. It's gone from, -120 to -180.
Which is really dramatic.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about, that won't happen to most lines over the course of the entire 4-month betting period between now and the start of the NFL season. I mean, this happened in the first, 5 hours of betting action on that line.
And you just described why everybody, you the seventh grade dance analogy, which I ruined by talking about boners. You
also ruined your seventh grade dance by talking about
boners. Well, it was a tough dance. It was like playing Journeys faithfully over and over again as people dance with their groins 5 feet apart. So Denver, they were probably very scared to figure out exactly what the right line was for that. They tentatively put in the 9.5, and everybody jumps in and immediately starts betting the under. And now they're kind of screwed. They have that. They probably should have put it at 9, right? Like, you look at a line, at a money shift like that, that means they put the wrong line up.
Yeah, I mean, or they thought that eventually they're going to get action on people going over, but it was the wrong line. It should have been 9. And I think when you have, you know, the MGM books will come out with their line soon, and you'll see the Caesars books come out with them shortly thereafter. You'll probably see them put it up at 9 with some juice on the over, because I think 9 is pretty plausible, but the Broncos have an incredibly tough schedule.
Yeah,
that's fair. What about tell me about their schedule.
Their schedule, they play the AFC North.
Ooh.
They play the NFC South.
Oh.
And they get games against the Falcons and the Texans.
Oh, and also their quarterbacks had 4 neck surgeries.
Their quarterback is either a cyborg or one hit away from being crippled, basically. It's tough to win 10 games, and they weren't that great of a team last year. They were 8-8. They had the point differential of a 6-10 team, and people just don't, you know, they're not a great football team with Peyton Manning.
Tell me I'm wrong about this, though, just to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
One of the best defenses in the league.
No.
One of.
One
of the best pass rushes in the in the league.
They had a good pass rushing defense.
Yeah, they allowed the 24th. You know, they were 24th in scoring defense last year. So only 8 teams in the league allowed fewer points than the Denver Broncos.
This is where you say, yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Yeah, that's
he's healthy. He's not injured. He's healthy.
He seems to be healthy after having his neck operated on 4 different times.
He has not been injured in the OTAs thus far.
Barnwell, you're a rational guy. Are you flabbergasted by the last couple months that people writing about this Manning thing? Like, to me, like, the neck surgeries have to be mentioned in every sentence that's written about Manning. And the fact that he plays a sport that you get tackled, especially when people aren't, when you're not looking, or when you're throwing, or when your body's at weird angles. Like, this is not a position you want to play after 4 neck surgeries, humble opinion.
I did just joke about it, but I think from the nature of the surgery, and this is my non-medical opinion, from talking to people around the league, it seems like most people are pretty confident that he'll hold up. But
wow.
But it's more a matter of, you know, nobody was also expecting Peyton Manning's arm to just suddenly, you know, go limp after 13 seasons. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just don't think anybody knows. You know, I think there's, again, this is going to be my Jacoby special now. I think it's entirely plausible to think that Peyton Manning will not last the season, but it's also entirely plausible to think that Peyton Manning will go full 16 games and be the, you know, Peyton Manning we all expect. So I just think it's so random and so up in the air at this point that it's not worth, you know, saying for sure one way or another. We know it's going to happen.
All right, let me create an over-under right now out of the thin air. Jacoby, over-under starts 2011, Peyton Manning, 11.5. Do you go over or under?
I go
11
under.
And a half. You go under. What do you do, Barnwell?
I'm going over.
Going over.
But only for this year. If you ask me for that next year, I would go under.
So if I gave you over under 26 starts over the next 2 years.
Oh, that's a good number. I don't know. I think I would go under 26.
I would go under 20.
Under 20?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't see it. And listen, I'm not a Peyton Manning hater. I'd love to have him in the league. It's more fun when Peyton Manning plays football. I enjoy rooting against him.
Without question.
I enjoy betting on him on night games. There's no more reliable guy to bet on in night games. I missed having him last year on that Monday night, need to win my money back weekend.
Yep.
I do not want him to not play. I just find it very hard to believe that he can play in it. And a lot of it reminds me of Larry Bird the last 2 years when his back was just shot. and he's playing with a 25-pound back brace, and all the idiot Celtic fans like myself are going, oh, Larry's he's rounding into shape for the playoffs. And meanwhile, he had a 25-pound back brace.
And he's not sitting on the bench. He's lying down.
Yeah, and he's lying down on the timeout. Like, no, that's fine. That's how he stretches
normal.
His back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're in such deep denial over what was happening, and it makes me wonder if this is what's happening here with Peyton Manning when we're reading stories like, hey, his velocity is 80% back. And he says it's getting better. Oh, awesome. That's great. 80%. That'll do him a lot of good.
I believe that. Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Here's a bet. On one side, you have the Denver Broncos. And the other side, you have the rest of the AFC West.
Mm.
And this is to win the AFC West.
Love Turner's still in the NFC West, AFC West, right?
Unfortunately, somehow, incredibly, he is still the coach of the San Diego Chargers.
And Romeo Crennel's in the AFC West.
Romeo Crennel was the interim coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
they decided, let's give him this job because he has shown such a track record of success.
And who's the Oakland coach? I can't remember.
The Oakland coach is Dennis Allen, who was the defensive coordinator for one of the best defenses in football last year, the Denver Broncos.
Oh. Wow, John Fox is feeling really good.
I'm taking the over. We'll be talking.
I'm taking the over
like
on John
that.
Fox.
I'm taking the over.
I'm
on
taking
the
over on John Fox, just feeling confident every week.
So what would you set that line at then for the Broncos versus the rest of the AFC?
Now you're saying like even if Manning played 11 games, who's their backup? Didn't they sign? They signed somebody like who's half decent.
Isn't it still Brady Quinn?
I thought they signed somebody else.
They drafted a like 6'9" guy in the second round, who is supposed to get knowledge from backing up Peyton Manning, just like Curtis Painter did.
The irony is they should have kept Tebow as Manning insurance and just used him for packages and stuff. Like, that actually would have been the smartest move, but I guess they wanted to avoid the controversy.
Because people would freak out about Tebow, and if Manning even struggled, just the same thing with Mark Sanchez, if Manning even struggled a little bit, you'd have people calling for Tebow instantly. So you can't have Tebow as your backup quarterback because everyone's going to want him to play.
You would have been proud of me at the ESPN Upfront last week. They made everybody come to rehearsal like 4 hours early, and I was there with Skip Bayless and Stephen A., who I swear to God started arguing about Tim Tebow. And not even like it was like, hey, let's do this, and people will think this is how it's like all the time. They legitimately started arguing about it, and I jumped in, and I was like, Tim Tebow won a playoff game. He beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game and completed an 80-yard pass in overtime to win the game.
He threw for 300 yards
against Dick LeBeau. How is this guy not a starter? You can't tell me that he's not one of the best 32 quarterbacks. Like, forget about like whether you think he's overrated, underrated, whatever. He's one of the best 32 quarterbacks. Jacoby's just staring at me with like just a happy, gleeful look on it because he loves Tebow more than
I love Tebow.
But I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, how is he a backup to Mark Sanchez?
Because people don't want to believe. Because Tim Tebow is so non-traditional and so likely to get you fired if he screws up that people in the NFL in general are terrified of losing their jobs and terrified of doing anything out of the ordinary that might make them look bad. Look at what you said about Michael Smith and those decisions with the Falcons, where I think he made the right calls and he got so much flack, even though they may have been the right decision. You know, it may not have been smart to give, to punt to Drew Brees. It may not have been smart to, kick field goals against the Giants in the Meadowlands or in northern New Jersey.
You and I are going to argue about that for the rest of our lives. I feel like. And we're going to be like 85 on some beach somewhere and just start arguing about Mike Smith. And people are going to be, who's Mike Smith? Atlanta coach 80 years ago.
My point with Tebow is that people are so afraid of doing anything out of the ordinary that if you're committing to Tebow, A, you have to really commit to him. You can't just give him 5 or 10 plays because people will want more. And they should want more because he's usually pretty good on those 5 or 10 plays. But you have to build your offense around him. You have to build your offensive scheme around him. You need the players to make it work. And then, if Tebow plays poorly, you're going to get fired. So people would much rather go with the, more traditional, we're going to get 6'5" Derek Anderson back there, and he's going to complete 48% of his passes. But, it's going to seem like a traditional decision, and it's not going to make us look bad or weird for doing it. So we're just going to do it. And that's why, even though Tim Tebow is probably, you're right, one of the 32 best quarterbacks in football, why teams would rather go with the traditional mediocre quarterback
So, Mr. Barnwell, obviously I want to talk about Tim Tebow more. My question for you while we're setting over-unders, how many games does Mark Sanchez start?
Oh, that's a good question. I like that one. I'm going to go This year, I'm going to go 12.5. I'm going to stay as the line. Because I think Mark Sanchez is in the first year of a guaranteed two-year deal. And I don't think the Jets are going to want to pay him, you know, whatever they're paying him next year, which is a pretty big number. I don't remember the exact number, but it's, you know, ridiculous money for Mark Sanchez. They're not going to pay him that much money to sit on the bench next year. So I think Tebow will end up getting a start, maybe two. I'd say 12.5, maybe 13 for the line.
All right. We have to quickly talk about the big movement. So we covered New Orleans. The under is at now -125/10. Denver, the under is -180, which is really, I mean, they're going to have to move that. And I'm sure when MGM puts out their lines, it'll be 9. They're not even going to mess with 9.5.
Yeah.
The Kansas City under has moved to -130. Do you care to guess what the Kansas City under is, Jacoby?
Okay, the Kansas City.
Remember, Romeo Crennel.
Yes, yes. I'm envisioning Romeo Crennel right now with his sunglasses around the bottom of his nose. Matt Castle. You know what? I'm going to go higher than you guys expect.
Oh. 4?
14?
6.5.
Oh, 8.
Ooh.
8 was a little high. That's why there was action.
Well, I think it's that division. That division gets you 2 wins.
Carolina.
Carolina is the only team in football so far, when I was at the casino checking this out, the only team in football getting action on their over.
Yeah. You know what that means? That means people like your team.
I'm not. Listen. Last year, I was on the Panthers fan.
You were.
Because we only had to get to 5.
I made fun of you about it over and over again.
I believe when you did your podcast with Sal, you guys said the Panthers would win 0 games.
I wish I had said -2. That's how confident I was. What do you think the over-under for Cam Newton, the rejuvenated Steve Smith? What do you think, Jacoby?
I have no idea.
All right.
I'm just going to be honest.
All right. No Our listeners clue. Don't have an idea either. 7.5 seems low.
I don't know.
Does it?
The high-scoring Panthers?
They're high-scoring, but high-scoring doesn't equal wins. I mean, they were high-scoring last year, and they were...
What'd they do in the draft? They got that linebacker, right?
They got Keithley. I don't know. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But I love that guy.
I'm calling him the white guy from BC until anybody tells me differently.
The white guy from BC is very sound.
Because I can't say his last
name. You're not factually incorrect.
5 years from now, I still won't be able to say his name. So I'll go with the white guy from BC until somebody tells me to stop. Tampa, the under... Wow.
Well, actually, hold on. Before we get to Tampa, I want to say one more thing about Carolina.
Okay.
I'm pitching you right now on a 30 for 30 on the Carolina-Washington game halfway through the season, because that's going to be the most fun game of the entire NFL year.
Newton-Griffin showdown?
RG against Cam.
RG3 versus Cam Newton. I'm so excited for that game.
That's a great one.
What week is that, do you know?
It's like week 8 or 9.
Settle down, Jacoby. It's a while away. Jacoby's planning the weekend.
Yeah, I was planning it out. We're going to have Barbell come in.
This is the most excited Jacoby has been since this 10 minutes we just talked about Tim Tebow when he almost like passed out. Last two, Tampa, a lot of action on the under. The under is now -185, which is just basically a signed, sealed confession that you effed up with the line. Tampa under, quickly. What do you think it is, Jacobs?
The over-under for Tampa?
Yeah.
It's got to be high.
Why does it have to be high?
Because everybody bet the under.
Oh.
So I'm going to say 7.5.
No. 6. And people still like the under.
Wow.
So that'll move to 5.5, right, Barnwell?
I think so. But then let me ask you, Bill, are you still on the Josh Freeman bandwagon?
Did you read about Josh Freeman?
I please refresh my memory.
Josh Freeman has shed 20 pounds because he is gluten-free, baby.
Oh, I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Me and Josh Freeman, me and my boyfriend, we're back together. We're gluten-free.
What's that beer you guys could drink together?
Red Bridge.
Red Bridge.
Yeah. We're Red Bridge. Josh, we're drinking some Red pizza. Bridges. Oh, it's going to be great. Me and Josh.
I'm really excited for your gluten-free beer pong game.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have gluten-free, and then we're going to have hummus. It's going to be great. We're going to have Zico chocolate waters. And drink vodka because it's the only liquor that doesn't do weird things to you with gluten. Yeah. Anyway, Arizona, the last one that went under.
I'm over on Tampa Bay. I think that gets to 5.5. I'm absolutely over it.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Young talented team, good free agency. You know, good job in free agency this year. And I think even though I'm not a big, I don't know about Shiano, the head coach. just that entire team quit on Raheem Morris. So I'm absolutely over on that.
Yeah, it's the old girlfriend. It's the boyfriend analogy of the guy who follows the horrible boyfriend. It doesn't even matter who you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
right.
Just you weren't the horrible boyfriend. And right. And she's happy to have you and doesn't care. Just she's happy you held the door open for her. Last one. Arizona. A little action on the under. Minus 140. Apparently not a lot of Kevin Cobb believers. What do you think that one is, Jacobs? You've been wrong every time by like
wrong,
a 1.5.
Wrong every time by about 2 games.
Need some work.
Kevin Cobb, starting quarterback. He's great in the BQBL.
Yeah.
So I would put the over under probably at 0.
It's not fair. It was 7.
Okay.
So just looking at this, the last thing I noticed that Houston was 10 wins. And you and I talked about this on a podcast heading into the playoffs, Barnwell. You could make a case that Houston might have been our best team last year and the Matt Schaub thing just screwed it up for them.
Hmm.
And that if you play that season 10 times and you remove injuries as a variable, Houston might have been the team that won.
I agree. And I don't think the defense is going to be quite as good as it was last year, just because when you see those defenses kind of make that leap from terrible to elite, the way the Texans did last year, it's very hard to sustain that. But like you said, the offense, you know, they had a lot of injuries last year to key players. Mario Williams was gone for the year. Andre Johnson missed, you know, basically half the season, if not more. And Schaub got hurt.
You know, Andre Johnson was not right for more than like 2 games that whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Less.
And then Schaub to TJ Yates was outrageous.
Enormous.
And they were right in that playoff game.
Right. And the problem is, the benefit for you're going to go over on them is that their schedule is terrible. I mean, they play in the worst division in football.
Yeah.
So you're talking about they're probably going to go 5-1, 6-0 in their division. When they do that, all they got to do is, you know, win 4 games out of their division, and they have a pretty good home crowd. I think, you know, they're a pretty solid bet, which is why the over is at 140 as opposed to 115 or 120 for the 10 wins. So I think you have to go, you know, 11-5, 12-4 there.
The only other one, and if you want to see all these over-unders, again, go to Barnwell's piece about it on Grantland. But the only other one that jumped out at me and just made me go, huh? Minnesota, 6 wins.
I'm not sure which side you're saying after.
I just feel like, is that team going to go 4-12? When did they get Peterson back?
I think their defense is really good. Their defense is very sound. Their pass rush is great. Their cornerbacks, they kind of have some issues in the secondary, but I think they have a good enough offensive line that, you know, even without Peterson, they'll be okay running the football, and they'll be okay playing good defense.
Why would they be okay running the football without Peterson?
Because they have a good offensive line.
Who's running it, though?
Toby Gerhart.
Stanford stop it.
Oh, look, you're not going to take Toby Gerhart in the 11th round of your draft.
I will not. I can get, and you know who else I'm not going to take? Christian Ponder.
I'm with you on Christian Ponder. But again, Christian Ponder was
he had signs.
Flashes last year.
He did. There were signs of Christian
flashes
Ponder.
Flashes of what? Flashes of losing money?
Oh, come on. Remember, he played pretty great against the Packers in that game where they were competitive for the first time.
I'm mad that Joe Webb isn't getting a chance.
I am also mad about Joe Webb.
I don't understand it. It makes no sense. If I was Joe Webb, I would be making a big fuss about how I'm not getting my chance and Christian Ponder is and that whole thing, because I just don't get it. Every time he came into the game and you had the other team laying however many points, you were terrified of Joe Webb.
Yeah, you didn't watch any
other
games.
Oh, no, they brought Joe Webb in. This is a disaster. We'll lose.
100% true. And I'm with you. And I think, you know, there is the possibility that Christian Ponder gets hurt and Joe Webb comes in. Hmm. And, you know, you really couldn't see the Vikings going 7-9. That's impossible for you to fathom.
I think that division's really tough. I mean, can they go 2-4 in that division? Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit? Can they win 2 games?
Yeah, why not? It's only 2 games.
Yeah. Barnwell, you're going to start writing more, right? This is football. Now it's football time. No, we had to refuel. You recharge your batteries.
Now it's football time? Oh, trust me, I'm
now we're heading toward your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
The wheelhouse is in the distance. You can kind of see it from far away. It's like, is that Barnwell's wheelhouse?
Well, like you said, I just kind of sauntered out of my cave for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, I got some stretching. Got to do some light jumping jacks, some light work. But you're going to see more football stuff as we get closer to the season.
Excellent. I miss reading your football stuff, and I miss football. I miss watching football. I miss having a football fantasy team.
I miss
the BQBL. I miss Sundays. I miss gambling on football. I miss everything about it. I miss Monday Night Football. I miss Thursday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football. I think you see the end of the NBA season coming.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. Thank God for the Olympics this year. July is a dark month for me, usually.
Yeah.
All right, we have to go call Joe House. Barnwell, thanks as always. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys.
You know what? We went so long with Bill Barnwell that we're going to take part two to another podcast. So you can check that out on iTunes.com or Grantland.com or ESPN.com's Pod Center. My buddy Joe House is going to talk NBA playoffs with us. See you in part two.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.